the sign. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Let me just get this technology set up real quick, and we'll. Okay, there we are. And we might be able to turn some of the lights down. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Before we begin, I'd like to just have another word of prayer once we get. Okay, starting over again. There we go. Let's pray our heads and we'll just have another word of prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning as we read your word, as we think about it, we just pray that you would bless us with your presence and your promises, your provision, your protection. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you should have had in your bulletin a little handout, a little outline, and we'll be kind of filling in that as we go along. The title is, as you can see there, In Uncertain Times, and I don't think there's ever been a time on planet Earth when there aren't uncertain times, when human beings, I think, since the fall, we've always had uncertainty in our life, and today is no exception. In fact, it's more uncertain, I think, today than at any time. And we have, but we have uncertainties that we can put in place of the uncertain times. So we're going to be looking at uncertain times, and I want you to go back in time. Roughly almost 4,000 years ago, to a man named Jacob. And Jacob, in this story, had traveled nearly 70 miles in his 400-mile journey to Haran. And you can see on the map up there where he was. It's a little hard to see, but Jacob starts down here, and he's traveling all through Palestine, all the way up to Haran. Whether he walked or went on a donkey, that's a long ways to travel. And he had traveled about 70 miles of that trip, and he found himself needing to rest. The evening had come on, and he set up camp. He was all by himself. And the Bible just calls it a certain place. And Genesis 28, verses 10, tells us that Jacob went from Beersheba, he went toward Haran, and he came to this certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. It's hard to travel. He didn't have a flashlight. He didn't have headlights on a vehicle, so he had to stop. He took one of the stones of that place, put it as his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And apparently that was a common thing in those days, that you slept on the ground when you were traveling, and you used a stone, of all things, as your pillow. Seems a little hard as a firm pillow. Now, the question is, why? Why was Jacob in this place anyway? What had just taken place? Well, if you go back a little ways farther in the story and you remember, this is a common story. We've heard it before. We've read it. You remember, Jacob had just deceived his father and stolen his brother's birthright. And these were no small things that he had done. In fact, his brother, you remember, was angry, very angry, so angry that he was planning on killing him, killing his own brother. As soon as his father, who was very old, passed away, he was planning on killing him. And Jacob knew this, and Jacob's mother knew this as well. And so at his mother's suggestion, she said, "Why don't you leave home, go back to Haran, go to where my brother is, Laban, and be with him for a while, and maybe your brother will calm down, and this will blow over, and we can send word to you, and you can come back." But what Rebecca and Jacob didn't know was that this was the last time they would ever see themselves again, see each other again. I'm sure that Rebecca didn't know that. She probably wouldn't have sent him on the trip if she knew that. They will meet again at the resurrection, but on earth, this was their last parting time. And so Jacob sets out on this 400-mile journey, and first evening comes, he's laying down, and his future is very uncertain. He's all alone. He has a brother who's wanting to kill him. He doesn't know if he's going to see his parents again. He has nothing but what he's carrying with him. He doesn't know how he's going to be received there in Haran when he gets to see his uncle. And he's got bandits, I'm sure. He's got wild animals. He's got hunger. He's got a lot of things that he doesn't know how he's going to deal with them, and he is uncertain, very uncertain. And it's while, even though this place, certain place, was just dirt and stones, it was in that place that God came to Jacob as he slept in a dream. And if you remember the dream, Jacob, in his dream, saw the stairway going from earth to heaven. And on that stairway were angels. And they were going back and forth, up and down on the stairway between the realms of heaven at the top and Lord Yahweh at the top and the earth. It extended all the way down to earth. And Jacob understood that the stairway was symbolic of a place where there was access to God. That even though he was all alone, thought he was all alone, the dream was telling him he wasn't alone. That the main point of the dream was to affirm to Jacob that the Lord and his angels were present, and they were active, though in verse 16 attests to this, that he had been unaware of their presence. And just like us, we go around our days most of the time unaware that God is with us and that our angels are there. We get opportunities from time to time to realize or to see our angel. But he recognized in this dream that God was present, even though he thought he was alone and nearly forsaken, that God was still present and active. Now, while most of us won't have a special dream like Jacob did, it has been revealed. This dream has been revealed to us through the Bible so that we can know that God is present and active, even when we are unaware of his presence. That God is present and there with us. Now, in our lives, we face lots of different uncertainties. How many of you feel a little uncertain when you hear that there's going to be a tornado watch today, and you're wondering, is this the day that a tornado is going to strike our community, or when it goes to a tornado warning? So we have nature that we are uncertain about frequently. The weathermen are obviously the only ones who can be inaccurate as many times as they are and still keep their job. And if it's not weather, it's other natural disasters that strike that we're uncertain about. Or we may not be certain of our job. whether our job will be there next week or whether we will have a pink slip and we will be in the job searching market, or whether the family is going to hold together. There may be uncertainty in our family with family strife and dysfunction. Or we may be uncertain about our financial state, whether we can meet all the bills that pile up and we're trying to decide which one to take care of. And if that's not enough, our world is uncertain a place in when it comes to peace. We are constantly at war on planet Earth, and it strikes in unexpected places and times. So we all live in uncertain times, right? So the message that God gave to Jacob is for us as well. He shows up in unexpected times, in unexpected places. And in Genesis 28, 13 through 15, the Lord speaks to Jacob. And it's from that speech, those three verses, that we're going to find 4 points to remember in uncertain times. We want to learn the 4 points that we're going to want to remember as we face uncertain times. There are 4 things. So in your handout it says remember and God's, and then there'll be a blank. Now I'm going to help you fill those 4 blanks in right at the beginning, and then we're going to go back and look at them in a little more detail as we go through. And those extra lines are for you to write in any other notes or Bible verses that maybe can help you in future. So number one is we need to remember God's promises. The first thing is to remember God's promises. Number two, we need to remember God's presence. Number three, we need to remember God's protection. And number four, we need to remember God's provision. God's promises, God's presence, God's protection, and God's provision. So where in those verses do we see this? So when we face uncertain times, first thing God did was to remind Jacob of the promises that he had made. Now he repeats in verse 13 the promises he had given to Abraham and the promises he had given to his father Isaac. So in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, so this is in his dream. He's seeing God at the top of the stairs. And God says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Now it's interesting. He says, I am the Lord God of Abraham. Now, I think by this time, not totally sure, but I think Abraham had died by this time. Certainly later on, this promise is repeated, but God never says he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He always says, I am the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's obviously in that he's saying, even though they've died, they're going to live again. I am still their God. And so he repeats, he says, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. So think about it. He's all alone. He has no family. He has no children, no offspring. He doesn't own a single thing except what he's carrying. And God is telling him, this land you're lying on will be yours. So he's reminding him, I promised this to your grandfather Abraham, your father Isaac, and I'm renewing that. So remember that promise. So in uncertain times, we need to remember, first of all, the promises of God, God's promises. Now the principle is true. It wasn't just for Jacob, but for all of us. And in Galatians, Paul says that if we are Christ, if we have accepted Christ, we are the offspring of Abraham. And so the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are for us too. So even when we may be facing, you know, difficult times, like trying to climb this mountain, or we have tough times ahead and uncertain times, we need to look to our Bible, open our Bibles, and let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, remind us of what God has promised. And Mrs. White in The Faith I Live By, page 23, she has this to say. She says, every promise in God's words is ours. When assailed by temptation, look not to circumstances or to the weakness of self, but to the power of the Word. All its strength is yours. And there's a number of promises that I'm going to just go through, and we're just scratching the surface. You know, in Psalms 50, verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So in our day of trouble, we can claim this promise for delivery. This one here, Psalm 34, 7. This would be one for Jacob that night. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. So if you feel like you're surrounded by enemies, remember that the Lord's angels are round about you. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So when we feel weak and faint and no strength, remember this promise from Isaiah 41:10. Now, according to BibleInfo.com, there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. We're not going to go through all 3,573 today. But how many of you have a little book like this at home? God's Promises. Okay, several hands. If you don't, you can get little books like this at any of the Christian bookstores. You can get it from the ABC, the Adventist Book Center. They have several of these. God's Promises for Your Every Need. And they're topically arranged so that different issues and needs, there's a list of verses. They are Bible promises that you can claim for your own. And so it's easy to be able to find these promises. Okay, so in uncertain times, we need to remember God's promises. Next, we need to remember God's presence. So as we face the future, and it may be uncertain, if we want to face it with confidence, we have to remember that God is with us. And that's what Jacob needed to know that night too. As he was there all alone, he needed to know God was with him still. And that's what God in verse 15 is telling him. It says, behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So Jacob may have felt alone, but he was actually never alone, and neither are we. God is with us always. And one of the Psalms, Psalms 23, is a really good psalm. Many of us have memorized it over the years. And it's there to help us remember that his presence is there in uncertain times. You know, let's just read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David had learned the same thing that his forefather from centuries before, Jacob, learned there on the same Palestinian hills, that God was with him. And this Psalm 23 has been a source of encouragement down through the centuries. For almost 3,000 years now, Psalm 23 has been there to remind us that God is with us. So God, we need to remember God's promises, God's presence, and number three, God's protection in uncertain times. There in verse 15, he goes on and he says, I will keep you wherever you go. So God reminded Jacob that he was going to protect him on this perilous journey. I found this on the internet. How would you like that to be your bridge over troubled waters to go every day to school? I think that's in Pakistan or India, one of those two places, but it looks like a perilous journey. And Jacob was on a just as perilous a journey, and God was saying, I am going to keep you on this journey. Now, it didn't mean that nothing hurtful or bad would ever happen to Jacob, but it did mean, just as it means to us, that God will protect us so that his plan, which is good, comes to fruition. Now, in other words, Jacob did not have to worry about his brother's anger or about bandits or about wild animals, because God had said that he could trust him, and he trusted that God would protect him. And in the same way, we don't need to fear the dangers that we face in today's world. Terrorists, disease, crime, financial loss, natural disasters, they are there, but God has promised to watch over us, and certainly that's enough. So God's promises of protection are scattered all the way through the Bible. Here in Exodus 14:14, as the Israelites are leaving Egypt and they're facing uncertain times, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So this is Deuteronomy 31. So this would have been 40 years after Exodus. And Moses, before they go into the land of Canaan, he's reminding them that all these promises that God had given them, every single one of them had come true, that he had taken care of them, just like he said. So number four, in uncertain times, we need to remember God's provision. Promise in verse 15 was that he would watch over you. It has a dual meaning. The Hebrew word here for watch meant to protect, to provide for, or to take care of. So he was saying, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to provide for you. And the Hebrew word actually first is used there in Genesis 2:15, when God instructed Adam to take care of the garden, provide for its needs. So he's saying, I'm going to provide for your needs. And so in the story of Jacob, God was promising to provide his needs as well as to protect him from harm. So, and Jacob understood that because he expected God to watch over him on his journey and provide food and clothing for him. And we can see this in verse 20 where he says, and Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be with me. So he understood that God was saying, I'm going to provide for your needs. your shelter. And so in this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth to you. So tithing started way back 4,000 years ago. And we have promises from the New Testament, Philippians 4:19. This is a favorite one. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So he's promised to provide all his needs for his people. It reminds us that the Father knows what we need before we even ask. And just as he provides for the birds of the air, he says he will certainly provide for us as well. And Ellen White reminds us, she says, all who keep the commandments in truth and integrity reveal to the world that they are under the rule of God and are dependent upon him for their temporal and spiritual victories. With God's presence and favor, his people are safe, although they may suffer persecution for the truth's sake. His goodness and the riches of his grace are their protection and salvation. So, finding certainty in uncertain times are in those four things that we need to remember. We need to remember God's promises, like the rainbow reminded Noah that he was not going to bring another flood. He scatters 3,573 through his word. We need to remember God's promises, God's presence, God's protection, and God provides. He makes provision. So we want to be encouraged that while each of us may face uncertain times ahead, remember that God is with us and for us. And he reminds us of that in Romans 8:31, this famous verse where he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So let's be encouraged with these four things to remember. And we'll close. Let's close with our closing hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. Hymn 518, Standing on the Promises.
Let us stand up as we sing our closing hymn.
Standing on the promises of Christ thy King, through eternal angels let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, everyone. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Everyone.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Father God, thank you for your promises that we can stand on. and for the fact that you protect us and provide for us and that you assure us that you are with us. We pray that you would go with us through the rest of the Sabbath now, and we come in Jesus' name. Amen.